Please follow along in your copies of God's Word as I begin reading in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This ends the reading of God's Word. And again, may His Spirit enable us to be more than merely hearers, but may He enable us to know how we should live on the basis of His Word. As I've said last week, many pastors and other theologians will say that prayer is part of the armor of God. However, as we look at the New Testament, as we look at Paul's description here, he doesn't attach any piece of armor to the topic of prayer. All the other pieces have a picture with it, a breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of salvation, a sword of the Spirit. Prayer doesn't have a physical piece of the armor to demonstrate it, so I'm not sure that we really ought to even include it as part of the armor. However, it is essential for every piece of the armor. It is what God grants to us to put on, enabling us to put on these other pieces of the armor. I think there's a very good reason that Paul talks about prayer right after he explains how good God is to provide this armor for us in order that we may fight temptation and endure trials. You must be committed to prayer if you want to be victorious over temptation or to be able to continue to rejoice when we face trials. To stick with the wartime analogy, I think it would be appropriate to consider prayer as our means of tactical communication. Now, I'm not an expert in military tactics or even terminology. Many years ago, I pastored a church right outside of the Fort Rucker Army Base, and I would always be so confused because they would throw out so many acronyms as they talked about life in the military, and I had no idea half the time what they were talking about. But I did figure out what military or what tactical communication means. Tactical communication is where from one command post or one place to another, they communicate and they give orders. They give counsel and direction and where they need to be going and how they need to get there. It's communication from one command to the field or from one person to another person. Tactical communication. Now, I think it's fair to presume that our ability to communicate as Americans with our superior techniques or equipment is far superior than many other countries. And I think it's obvious that we are far more advanced than ancient times. Today, a general doesn't need to be on the front lines with his troops. Now, with each advancement in ability or technology, the generals start to get further and further away from the front lines. Once they really became skilled with horsemanship, for example, the generals didn't have to be as close anymore. They could be further away, and the news could get there faster by messenger. And with each advancement, it seems like those that were in charge get further and further away. Now, a general can sit in a bunker in the Pentagon and literally watch his troops perform a dangerous mission by means of a predator with an unmanned aircraft. It's an amazing ability that we have. In fact, we have the capacity to track every single one of our planes and tanks and soldiers on a virtual digital map. It's an amazing world of technology that our military uses today. The effective deployment of our weaponry is inseparably bound to the effective communication between HQ and the field. They must be able to communicate. So also in our spiritual lives. The effective use of our weaponry, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the effective use of the Word of God is largely dependent upon our communication with God through prayer. In other words, to fully understand and apply the Bible in times of trial or temptation requires a healthy prayer life. Our passage this morning is a continuation of last week's sermon on the sword of the Spirit. And I started reading in verse 18 for a reason. It's right in the middle of a sentence, but I want us to back up now and hear what Paul has said in the flow of his explanation on the purpose of prayer. If we just back up a couple verses, and we're still in verse 16, we're still kind of picking up in mid-topic, but he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. So this is a unified statement of Paul. You pick up the Word of God, but don't pick up the sword to use it without prayer. Prayer is absolutely essential to the understanding of the Word of God, to the application of the Word of God in your life. Paul says, take it up and pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit requires that we listen to the Spirit and we hear Him in His Word. Oh, you hear a lot of people today talking about hearing the Holy Spirit speak to them and telling them where to go and what to do. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us through His Word, through the Word of God. Yes, He does guide us in making decisions, but He speaks to us through the Scriptures. To pray in the Spirit requires that we listen to the Spirit. We must be in the Word of God to be able to effectively pray to God. I think it's encouraging to know that there's no need for an updated system or to hope that there will be future advancements in God's technology. The same means that God gave to Paul are just as effective for us. We have a direct line to God the Father, our commander, through our commander Jesus Christ, because we have His Holy Spirit abiding within us. It's the same means that God gave to Paul and to all His people of ancient past. Pray to me. I've revealed myself through my word. Now pray. God will always answer your prayers when they are in harmony with what He has promised in His word. That is so critical for us to grasp. God will always answer our prayers when they are in harmony with His promises in His Word. The question sometimes is, are we willing to accept His answers? And they're not always exactly how we want them to be. But He always will answer when it's in harmony with His Word. Paul says, pray in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? I mean, it sounds a little too charismatic for a bunch of Calvinistic Presbyterians. Pray in the Spirit? What does that mean? Well, Sinclair Ferguson defines it simply as this: prayer that conforms to the will and purpose of the Spirit. Another pastor said it was praying under the control of the Holy Spirit. Or another one said that it is praying according to the promises the Spirit has given or has made known. I think if you put all those together, we can see that praying in the Spirit means that we need to be closely connected to the Word of God. God will always answer our prayers when we're in harmony with His Word. We pray according to His promises. So take up the sword and pray. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Get a deeper knowledge of it. Get into the Word of God and pray. Don't neglect prayer. Don't simply study the Word of God and hope that somehow it's a magical book that will give you all your answers. Get into the Scriptures, study the Bible, and pray. Asking God for support, asking God for wisdom. God has promised that He will give us strength, that He will give us wisdom, that He will give us peace, and so much more. So pray, because He has already promised those things for His children. Pray in the Spirit through the Word. And when you do, I believe there will be results. And the first one that we see is to pray in the Spirit through the Word results in being able to pray at all times. Paul says here in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Now, this is not the only time that that Paul encourages his friends and fellow believers to pray with such fervency. In Colossians, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Steadfastly. Continue steadfastly. Don't quit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, pray without ceasing. Is your prayer like that? Do you pray without ceasing? Do you continue steadfastly in prayer? Do we pray at all times? Before Paul was even converted, we see back in Acts chapter 2 that the church in Jerusalem, it says, was continually devoted, and it lists several things. One was to the apostles' teaching, the word of God, and the other is to prayer. They were continually devoted. This has been the practice of God's people forever. Continually devoted. That's half of the book of the Psalms. Well, I shouldn't say half. I don't know how much. But much of the book of Psalms is David's praying to God. He was consumed with prayer as he cried out to God, as he called to God, as he praised God. It was a vital part of David's life. It's all throughout the Scriptures. To pray without ceasing. And the basic principle is this: there is no time when we do not need to pray. I know there's a lot of negatives in that sentence. There's absolutely no part of your day that doesn't need prayer. We need to pray all the time. We always need to pray. However, to pray at all times does not mean that we are to constantly have our heads down and our hands folded and our eyes closed in that form, position. Nor does it mean that we need to be ritualistically reading a prayer book or counting beads. That can quickly become just empty words, meaningless repetition. Now, this simply is an ongoing, constant awareness of God and His work in your life, an ongoing conversation that you have with God, where you are talking to Him about anything throughout the day. You're recognizing His work throughout the day. It's a constant awareness of God and His actions. For example, when you're tempted, we should immediately ask God for help, admit our weakness, and acknowledge that we need His help to overcome that temptation. When we experience something good and something beautiful, we should immediately thank God for what He has done. When we see evil around us, we should pray that God would make it right. When we see injustice, we should pray that God would allow someone to stand up for that person, if not you. When we see someone that doesn't know Christ, we should pray that God would bring a friend alongside them that would draw them to Himself and maybe even use us as a witness. When we face trouble, we should turn to God, cry out to Him as our deliverer. We should have an open line, a constant communication between us and God throughout our day. Don't worry if people think you're crazy and talking to yourself. Pray. Praise God for what He has done. Cry out to Him when you see pain in other people's lives or in your own life. I remember many years ago, my dad in one of his sermons talked about shooting people with prayer. That is, it should be part of our daily routine as we're driving in this traffic in the city. When you see someone cutting off other people, don't just get angry at them. Recognize there may be something very important that they have to get to. Pray for them. Pray for safety. Pray for better decision making. but pray for them. Don't just get angry at them. Pray. I remember, and you've probably experienced this as well, coming alongside someone, you can notice that they're crying in their car. Pray for them. Use every opportunity that you can to pray at all times. I've started developing a habit, and I'm not consistent at it all the time, but you do this, I'm sure, as well. You see people out in public, you think, boy, that looks just like so-and-so. And maybe it draws back a memory of someone from years ago, and you think, is that them? And it's not, but it draws them into your memory. Use that as a reminder to pray for that person that you were just reminded of. Pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. We don't know when the next battle is going to flare up. We can't know. So we need to have the discipline of being in constant communication with our King. So when the battle does rise up, we're ready. We're ready. Second result, when we pray in the Spirit through the Word, it results in being able to pray with perseverance for all the saints. Paul says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Supplication is simply praying for someone else, not just for yourself. But keep alert with all perseverance. Don't give up. Don't give up praying for all the saints. When you know the promises of God, and you're praying in harmony with the Spirit, then you won't be as tempted to give up praying. Because you know that God has promised things. And you know that He's good and He's faithful. So keep praying. Don't give up just because you don't see God quickly responding to your request. Sometimes He doesn't respond in the timing that we wish He would. But don't quit. Don't give up. Sometimes God says, wait. Doesn't mean that He won't answer. He simply says, wait. Jesus taught His disciples the same principle in Luke chapter 18. In fact, He told many parables. If you know your New Testament, you know Jesus told He would use stories to tell, to make a strong point on something spiritual, something important. Well, sometimes He would tell us why He was telling that story. Sometimes it's left to us to try to interpret it. But in Luke 18, He tells us specifically why He shares this parable. In verse 1, it says, Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then He tells a story about a widow who was seeking justice. And she had to go before an unjust judge who wouldn't listen to her. She went over and over and over and over and finally wore him down. And Jesus tells us at the end that the reason for this parable, the purpose of it is if an unjust judge would show mercy, surely your God who is just is going to care for you. You can trust Him. But don't give up. Keep praying. Don't expect necessarily that He's going to answer immediately. Persevere. Stay alert. When you know the promises of God and you know His character, then you'll be able to stay alert and persevere. Now, I think we also need to be careful at this point, lest we are guilty of asking for things like a spoiled little child. It's gimme, gimme, gimme. But it's not what God desires for us. But it's what we want. And so, well, pastor says, just keep persevering. So I'll just keep asking for what I want, and God's got to give it to me. We can't give in to the temptation to pray like spoiled children. Sometimes we have to accept God's no and be content with His no. We discipline ourselves to persistently pray based upon His revealed will. What God has said in His Word, we can pray perseveringly, we can pray with confidence, we can pray and not give up when He has promised it in His Word. One of the things I encourage some of you to pray in continually, a few of you have children that at one time professed Christ and were living like it, and now they've turned away, they're going astray, they're going their own way, and it aches in your heart. I've tried to encourage you, keep praying. Pray the promises of God. He will not allow one of His sheep to be condemned. If that child, if that now grown adult is truly one of God's sheep, He will restore him or her. He will bring them back. That's one of His promises. So don't stop praying. Don't give up. You may not be blessed to see it in your lifetime, but you can be confident that God will do just as He promised. He is faithful. He will not allow His sheep to be condemned to eternity in hell. He is faithful. Don't give up. Pray in the Spirit through the Word and persevere. And then lastly, to pray in the Spirit through the Word results in being able to pray for the proclamation of the gospel. I hope that you can see that prayer is not to be a selfish act. There are certainly times or seasons in our life when we are in desperate conditions and our prayers are focused entirely on that particular trial that we're enduring at the time, and that's fine. Those are difficult seasons. However, notice that Paul emphasizes several times that we are to be praying for others. Pray for all the saints. Pray for me too, he said. If we find that our prayers are always focused on our needs or our wants, then it's likely that we need to renovate our prayer life, that we're just being selfish. But let's consider what Paul was asking the believers in Ephesus to pray about. He says, pray that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Now, to be an ambassador, you understand, is someone that speaks on behalf of a higher superior. Paul considered himself, and he says, in fact, in Corinthians, that we are all ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives in the world proclaiming his good news. Paul says, I need prayer. I need you praying that I can proclaim his good news with boldness. It may seem hard to believe that Paul, the fearless apostle of God, needed prayer like you and me. It's Paul. He needed prayer that he would be bold. Paul, who told people that they were... Well, he told them a lot of things. Paul? Yes, Paul needed prayer, and so do we. The fact is, the reason I think that Paul had such an ability to communicate God's truth is that people were praying. That people were praying for him. That he was able to persevere through persecution. He was able to endure incredible hardships, being stoned several times with rocks, being shipwrecked. He endured incredible hardship. He needed people praying. He recognized fully that he had no ability on his own, that the power to preach, the power to persevere was coming by the people praying in the Spirit through the Word. Paul's primary prayer request here was that words would be given to him in the opening of his mouth. Now, Paul's not alone in the Scriptures with that in that request. There are several times that we read in the Scriptures of people that were called by God, but they didn't think they could do it. After Christmas, we're going to consider Jonah and a man called by God, but in Jonah's case, he didn't want to do it. But there are several people that didn't think they were adequate for the task to which God was calling them. The first one you might think of is Moses. When God called Moses, his response was, I can't do that. I can't speak. I can't speak to Pharaoh. I just don't have that kind of ability. And what does God do? God gives him some help. He gives him Aaron, who at first was his mouthpiece. He spoke in Moses' place, but it didn't take long. In fact, very quickly, Moses became the speaker. And he grew in his boldness, and he became an extremely bold communicator to God's people. Then there was also Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, listen how Jeremiah first responded to God. He says, Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But how did God respond to Jeremiah? Well, in verse 9 in Jeremiah 1, it says, Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. You say, you may feel inadequate to tell someone else about the love of Jesus. You may feel like it's not your place, you don't have that ability. But brother and sister, it is no problem for God to put the words in your mouth. Moses, Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul eventually, all discovered that God has no problem giving them words to say and the courage to say them. Don't be afraid to tell people the truth, because it's about the love of God. It's about the peace of God. It's about the provision that God has made so that people can be with Him for all eternity and escape the condemnation of hell. Don't be afraid. It's good news. It's the best news that anyone could possibly hear. And God will put the words in your mouth. When we fear, we will fall. Some of you may find this hard to believe, but there was a time in my life when I was terrified to speak in front of people. When I was in the ninth grade and signed up for, enrolled for the next classes, I enrolled for drama class. It was an elective. My idea was I wanted to be the sound man for the play. I loved sound effects and that kind of equipment, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be behind the scenes, doing the sound room. I thought that would be so much fun. What I didn't know, I should have known, was that you would have to stand in front of the whole class and perform. I had to do a lip sync. No, I would not do that. I was terrified. I would rather take a zero, a goose egg, than have to stand up in front of 20 of my peers and lip sync. Not even my own words. I just had to lip sync to a song. No way. I took a zero. That is, until the teacher called my parents. And I don't know if they still do that today or not, but they did then. And my parents said, no, you will not take a zero. Let us pick out a song for you. And they start going through their albums, and I said, no way. I'll pick my own album. To do. And the teacher was gracious. She allowed me to do it before school started. There were only a handful of kids that came in there. Wonderful teacher. And I was terrified. Now, I don't know exactly what age, and I don't think my dad knows exactly what age, but he started encouraging me early on that I needed to pursue being a pastor. There's no way. I was terrified of speaking in front of people. But God has obviously changed me. God has obviously given me His grace and allowed me the courage to stand up in front of people and proclaim His word. It is only the grace of God that I stand here today, because He changed me and He's given me words to say. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody in this room needs to be able to become a preacher someday. All you need to do is be faithful to what God has told you to do. He has told us to be His ambassadors, to share what Christ has done with your friend, with your mom, your sister, your loved ones. Be an ambassador. Proclaim the good news. And remember, Paul here is encouraging us to stand firm in the midst of spiritual battles. However, the idea here is not to find a bunker somewhere where we can hide from the world so we can stand firm. Our purpose is to stand firm and advance against the enemy. Jesus said that He was building His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We are on the offensive. Personally, I think many Christians and many churches take that bunker mentality. And let's just all huddle together and talk about God, and then we go out in the world and do our own jobs, and we don't have to tell anybody anything else. But we hunker in together once a week and talk about God. That's not the life of the Christian. It's not what God has intended for us. We're to go. We're to be engaged in the battle. We're to be proclaiming the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But to do so, Paul knew that he needed the prayers of God's people to help him, so he would stand firm and keep going forth. So instead of being afraid to speak, instead of being afraid to tell your friend, ask another believing friend to pray for you, to pray that you'll have the courage and the boldness and the love to speak to your friend or your family member. Ask for prayer and be that person who's praying for someone else. I can't tell you how encouraging it is for me to know that several of you continuously or consistently pray for me and Pastor Tim as your pastors. We know you pray for us. You've told us that many times, and we know that you're faithful doing it. It is so encouraging. Well, do that for one another as well. And make it known to your brothers or sisters that you need their prayer. If we keep just focusing on ourselves and think that people will either accept or reject the gospel based on our ability or inability to communicate the gospel, then we'll fail. God is in charge of salvation. He saves souls, but He uses people like you and people like me to proclaim the gospel. Trust Him. Pray to Him. Pray in the Spirit through the Word. And trust God to produce the results. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You've allowed us to enter into Your presence with prayer. You have made the way possible through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have to go through a priest or some other spiritualist. You've made it possible for us to come straight to You. Your Son paid the price on the cross that we then become Your children. And as a loving Father, it gives You great joy to hear us pray. Lord, I pray that You would enable us to be better students of Your Word so that we would know Your promises better, so that we'd be able to pray more effectively, that we'd be a greater encouragement to one another, that we'd be able to pray at all times, continually with perseverance. And Lord, may we have the boldness to be able to proclaim this glorious good news. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.